It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall deep, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show. Don't nobody know we represent and honor every single veteran that went to war for us in World War One. What's good? Fourth quarter, six and whatever left on the clock. Down 10.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. For this, I got an email that I'd like to read, but first I'm going to need a little talking baseball, if you got
it.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Talking baseball, Klazuski Campanella, talking baseball, the man and Bobby Feller, the scooter, the barber, and the nuke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque.
All right, so Dubuque, I mean, that leaves a lot of the west coast of the country.
I was going to say, why stop in the Midwest? That doesn't make any sense.
All right, so John went through all the players, and because I didn't understand who some of these players were.
Right.
So a guy named Mark emailed me, and he goes, at the risk of outing myself as a pathetic baseball nerd, I can no longer stand by and listen this week to John Wallach butchering facts about old-time baseball players from the Cashman song.
Okay.
It's not just that he's getting it wrong. It's also that he's conflating players and teams in that 25 glasses of soda-addled head of his.
Okay.
Today he got it right when he said Ted Klazuski was a power hitter from the 50s, but he was totally wrong when he said he played for the Twins.
Okay.
Klazuski played for the Reds. Harmon Killebrew is who Wallach was thinking when he played for the, and played when he played for the Twins, and there's no pitcher named George Alexander.
It's Grover Cleveland Alexander
who
That's
played for Washington. It was Grover Cleveland Alexander who played for the A's, Cubs, and Cards. The song's reference to him being in Washington again refers to Ronald Reagan, who played Alexander in a movie.
Ah,
Jesus, why do I know this stuff? All this adds up to Wallach being a fake baseball nerd. He can no longer claim authority on the show. And then he sends me an article to James Corden, which I can't. And then he sends back, and then he goes, I pulled a Wallach Alexander pitch for the Phillies, not the A's, but I stand by the rest.
The scooter, the barber, and the nuke.
The song.
They knew them all.
Like, how did this song come into your, like, collective conscious? Like, this obviously wasn't a hit. Was this a Dr. Demento special? Is this on the other side of Fish Heads?
I have no idea, but I had it. It was the early 80s.
But this
came out. Even worse, he made one for each baseball team.
How are you aware of it, though? Like, how did it, like, how did this come into your life?
Like, Roach knows it, too.
I don't remember how that happened.
Was it something that, you know, that was played on the old, who's the guy who was the Phantom Gourmet's dad who did the sports radio? What's his, Eddie Andel. Was it like an Eddie Andelman show? Was it like a hit there?
Well, that was a Sports Huddle. No, that wasn't him. That was something
is that how?
Sports Huddle is all these, like, legendary,
you know,
stuff.
Boston sports nerds are totally into that song. It was like back in the day when, you know, Eddie Andelman would.
Was that a Boston-based singer-songwriter?
No, I don't believe so. Well,
The Simpsons ripped it off. So. I do know that. They did a parody of it.
Oh, was that when they had all the athletes in for the big softball game?
I think it's Homer Goes to Bat, like one of the most famous episodes. I believe they actually did a parody of that song.
Well, that went way over my head. All right, so if I went through your 45s when you were...
Okay, yeah.
In 81, how old were you?
35.
No, seriously.
I was 13.
Okay.
I think that's right.
If I went through, like, from 81, like, so let's say in 84, you had developed a collection.
Yeah.
What would I be sifting through?
Oh, boy. Let's see. I mean, I don't know. What were the popular top 40 songs at the time?
Which year was this?
81.
Oh, I mean, isn't that prime?
I didn't go as far as, like, Olivia Newton-John. I never did that.
No, but that was prime Dr. Demento time.
Yeah, you think so.
You loved, like, the parody songs and things.
Yes, I did.
Did you own Fish Heads?
I did not.
But you owned Pac-Man Fever.
I did own that. Buckner and Garcia, I did own that.
And you did own, what's the one, Rich? Where? Oh, the Curly Shuffle.
Oh, yeah,
I had that. Jump in the Saddle Band. Sure, I had that.
Now, when you bought these, it's because of, like, the humor?
I got to be honest with you. I think the answer to that is no. I think I actually just like the song. It's true.
Someone said that was Maz's wedding song we just played. Couldn't you see Roach playing that, like, the first dance?
Roach literally took his kid to the Hall of Fame into the bathroom and, you know, quote unquote, christened him in the bathroom.
So weird, man. This was in the 81.
Yeah. It's driving me crazy, Rich. Yeah.
Fever.
There's not enough of that.
I got
Fortnite fever. Come on. So why is Buckner Garcia not, like, throwing just whatever will stick?
You know they OD'd. Well, you know life was too hard for Buckner and Garcia in wild times.
There was a guy who used to run a bar that I would do appearances at. And one time he came up to me and he was like, of course, he looked like some old, like, 80s rocker who was washed up. And around his neck, he had, like, this gold record around his neck. It was, like, not Flavor Flav stuff, but a small one. And one time he came up to me, he goes, hey, you see this right here? And I'm like, the medallion? He goes, that's gold record. I'm like, yeah, kind of. And he goes, you know what that's for? I produced Pac-Man Fever. I bet that dude gets laid left and right telling people about that.
But it's weird that this has come up because I don't know why, but there were two Cabbage Patch dolls that were downstairs, and I asked my daughter about them. She's like, they creep me out, so I got rid of them. And there's nothing like that anymore, is there?
Like parody songs that way?
No. Like an item that every kid has to have.
Oh.
Where there's, like, a run on stores, like, where people, like, have to run and go get something.
I mean, every year there's something. My kids are older, though. It doesn't matter. Like, they remember the Hatchimals thing a couple of years ago? There was a run on stores. It wasn't like the Cabbage Patch Kids. There really hasn't been anything like that.
Yeah, like, I mean,
that Tickle Me Elmo about a decade ago, or maybe it was two decades ago.
That's 20 years ago.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a run on anything. That's because, you know, the brick and mortar stores, man, they got rid of Toys R Us.
Yeah.
And people, you know.
Yeah, I can't think of anything recently that's been like that.
Nope. Nope. It's a shame. Yeah. My collection, my idea to get the cast of the Goldbergs, make them into dolls, didn't work out.
Goldberg dolls?
Yeah. That show's not good anymore.
Really?
They ran out of ideas.
No, that's too bad.
They feel like they have to make everything like an 80s movie.
Well, how many seasons did they go before getting to this point?
I think this might be the fifth season.
Okay. So they were, like, kind of like The Sopranos.
That's a pretty decent run, though. Four seasons?
Yeah, it is like The Sopranos a lot. there's a gay guy that's up in New Hampshire.
They're going to chase him for an entire season? Him,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean,
Barry Goldberg goes nuts.
That's The Sopranos, when that came out, it was like revolutionary television. It was one of the first shows that would kill off like major characters, and everyone loved it. And now looking back, you realize just how unbelievably flawed it was, how they would have storylines that went nowhere. I'm talking a ton of storylines that went nowhere. Entire seasons wasted, just like the one you talked about right there. And it was one of those things that if they would have taken the six seasons, I think it was, and made it four seasons, it probably would have been perfect.
Well, the thing that's frustrating about when the gay guy ran up to New Hampshire, wherever the hell he went, was that he was caught by... Who's the girl on the show, the daughter?
Oh, Meadow?
Yeah, Meadow Soprano.
Yeah, yeah.
He was caught by Meadow's boyfriend.
Yep.
And so Meadow's boyfriend was like a vehicle where a non-criminal could relate to. So I assumed the season was going to be Meadow's boyfriend
trying, on the run.
Or him trying not to navigate and trying not to be killed.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he ran up to New Hampshire.
Yeah, that was weird. And then because it took... Because after that, there were certain shows that would come out that, like Breaking Bad, I keep referencing that, but where there would be almost no fat. And you realize that you can do a show, and you can do it really well, and not have episodes that just meant nothing. Like that, I mean, the Columbus Day episode, you go back and watch that, and it's just like, what are we doing here? Like, why the talking fish stuff and the hallucinations? Like, why do we even need any of this?
Well, I don't even know what the hell was going on with the ducks in the first one. I mean, when remember he like loves the ducks in the pool.
Yeah. I remember like that. I remember not minding it then, and now that I look back, I'm like, wow, they really didn't need that.
It means something.
Yeah, I'm sure it does, and I'm sure that there's some deep message that I'm just not smart enough to figure out.
Right.
But then again, there's too much TV. I don't really want to take the time to figure that stuff out. It's one of those things. Now, if somebody tells me that a show takes a season or two to really get going, I'm not going to watch it.
Well, you watch Better Call Saul, so you're...
But I watch that in real time. Right. That's different. And by the way, Better Call Saul now rules. It, like, the last season was as good as Breaking Bad. So I do think that's a good investment if you're a Breaking Bad fan.
All right. What is coming up, Rich?
Well, once again, trade deadline passes. Danny Ainge does nothing. We're going to have him on the show at 9 o'clock, but let's talk about what they didn't do and what the rest of the league did around them to get better.
All right. We will be right back.
Listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hey.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Yesterday was the NBA trade deadline. And, no huge names getting moved, but there
are... a couple huge names.
Depends your definition of huge.
I mean, Andre Drummond's a big name. It's a real big name.
And D'Angelo Russell.
D'Angelo Russell.
Good player. I mean, Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, Wiggins was moved. I mean, it was a pretty big, active trade deadline.
Were there any, like, showstoppers, like surefire all-stars? No, but there were some good players that moved.
But a trade deadline came and gone. It's another year with no movement from the Celtics. Danny Ainge, who we're going to have on the show at 9 o'clock, says he didn't think the team really didn't have any kind of roster needs.
I don't think there are needs. That doesn't mean that you can't find players that are that can improve what your team is doing, but we don't have any gaping holes in our roster. I think I mentioned the other night, I think we're third in defense, which has been the most impressive thing about our season this year. In the offseason, we lost Horford and Baines, and I thought that was going to be a real problem for us coming into the season, and yet here we sit 50 games into the season, and we're third in the league in defense.
So you would call them the boogeyman, possibly? Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to kindly disagree. Anytime Giannis Antetokounmpo is in your conference, you better have someone who can take a punch from that guy in the paint. And it's not like there weren't options. Andre Drummond, who we'd been discussing the last few weeks, was traded from Detroit to the Cavaliers for next to nothing, except the Cavs, of course, have to take on his enormous salary.
That was the difference. Yeah. It would have cost the Celtics a lot more.
$28 million, yeah. I believe, is what he's making. Drummond tweeted something about there being, quote, no loyalty in the NBA anymore after that. So obviously not a happy camper.
I told Rich he'll never have to buy a drink in Detroit again.
Yeah.
If you get traded or moved from Detroit and you don't want to leave...
Yeah,
I mean, just people like falling all over
the parade, parade for you in the streets.
They think that you're the best thing that's ever happened.
So the Boston Globe this morning is reporting that the Celtics inquired about Davis Bertans of Washington. He's shooting 43% from beyond the three-point line, but he was never made available by Washington. As a matter of fact, they were insistent on keeping him, according to reports, and they want to re-sign him. And that report does jive with Danny Ainge's insistence last night that the team was indeed looking.
Well, we'll examine the buyout.
Yeah, this is right.
Yeah, yeah. I think that we reached out more than we had calls coming in. We were looking to do a few things that fell through the cracks, and I don't think anything came close, although you never really know what's close and what's not. But we were very active. Like I told you guys the other day, I think it's just better that we... our health, and I feel good about where we are today and that we didn't do some of the deals that might have been tempting.
So that leaves the buyout market, and there are one or two options that do legitimately seem interesting. One is Tristan Thompson, who with the Andre Drummond trade seems to be out the door with the Cavaliers. Rumor was that he was going to be bought out, but now the Cavaliers have said they're going to keep him throughout the season. However, these things change all the time. Here's Paul Pierce's sell job to Tristan Thompson on joining the Celtics last night.
Paul, can you go directly into your camera here and make a pitch to Tristan Thompson to take the buyout
Tristan,
so the Celtics can pick him up?
You are the one player that can put the Boston Celtics over the top. Taking a couple extra less millions is worth it, buddy.
No, the answer is you don't take any less money, Tristan. You make the Cavs buy you out because that they've just traded for your replacement.
Right, but...
and then you go sign and get more money.
But look, Tristan could be part of another run in the Eastern Conference.
Charlie, that'll put him over the top. Just what they need, a physical presence, a veteran leader, a champion.
Two things. First of all, I can't believe I'm saying Brian Windhorst is right. I mean, I don't know what Paul Pierce is talking about, like taking a pay cut so you can pick where you want to go. Well, no, you make them buy you out.
Well, then... Why would you treat Khloe Kardashian like that?
I know. It's mean.
I don't want that on my hometown team.
You get to see a real star in the front row of these Celtics games if you got her. Khloe on the can. Well, David Aldridge reported yesterday.
I'll be there in a minute.
Perhaps the Cavs are angling to convince Thompson to relinquish a little bit more of his $7.3 million remaining salary in exchange for the freedom to choose a new team. He says, I wouldn't completely rule out a buyout. But second of all, I love Tristan Thompson, and Paul Pierce is exactly right. That he's one of those guys that for years has just frustrated the hell out of the Boston Celtics. He has just that right type of edge that he plays on that's perfect for a man like Giannis, especially if you're able to keep a couple of the other pieces that you've got there. Like, I mean, if you had him and a guy like Cantor and you were able to keep him, you would be able to keep him, of course, because of the buyout market. See, to me, I think that would be a really good move if they can do it.
Well, he is very limited offensively, and, you know, Cantor is too. I mean, Tristan Thompson couldn't hit a three if you gave him 50 tries, but he averages a double-double last 2 years, including this one. And the last 2 years, he's been playing in relative anonymity. No one's paying attention to Cleveland, but Thompson, the last 2 years, have had the best 2 years of his career. So he would certainly be a help. He'd be a moderate upgrade over Cantor. He plays with a little more of an edge, but...
I don't know why the Cavs made that deal, to be quite honest.
Honestly, I mean, if he's asking for a lot of money in signing with your team, I don't know if I necessarily go there.
Well, I mean, that's another thing. Well, first of all, speaking of the buyout market, how about our old buddy Isaiah Thomas? Part of a three-team trade that landed Marcus Morris with the Clippers. Word is that Isaiah is going to be available. Up for getting the gang back together? How about that? By the way, when Isaiah's played this season, he's been pretty good.
He's not been bad.
He's shooting 41% from the field in 40 games with Washington. That's his highest field goal percentage since his last season
41%
here.
From three.
That's not bad. In addition, he's making it. Yep, that's right. And for a team that wants bench scoring help, they might be able to get this guy on the cheap.
He wants to be here.
I know.
Desperately, he wants to be here. He's made no secret about it over the last couple of years that he wants to come back. I have no trouble with that. Stick him at the end of the bench. Bring him in for 10 minutes a night. No problem.
And that guy would, I mean, we obviously know this. You want to talk about not messing up the chemistry on this team?
Oh, yeah.
He's perfect. I mean, he'll fit right in. The guy still bleeds green. We know that. Every time he talks about the Celtics, he's like, you know, an ex-girlfriend that he misses and wants back. But what makes all this so difficult is that the Celtics, they don't have an open roster spot right now, and they basically can really only offer a minimum salary deal. and they probably can't offer much playing time to a lot of these guys. But Danny Ainge is considering looking at the buyout market.
Well, we'll examine the buyout market. When the guys come available, we look into everybody that's available, whether it's through trades or buyouts, whatever. But we can't hang our hats on any of those. We have to continue just with the roster that we have, and that's what we're going forward to. When the buyout market comes available and players come available, we'll be looking to see what sort of additions that we can add to make our team better. But I don't feel any panic to do any of that.
Okay, so I mentioned that Danny Ainge was going to be on the show last night on Twitter, and there's a ton of people who have been whipped into a frenzy by Felger and Maz. Hold his feet to the fire! Okay, first of all, we do that. It gets uncomfortable with Danny Ainge sometimes, not just because of Fred's awesome Different Strokes jokes that he throws in there with the uncomfortable silences. But the one thing about this year is that Felger and Maz yesterday, and I believe that all these people are buying into this, are saying, why do they hold on to these first-round picks? Why do they cover their first-round picks? It's because this year's first-round picks, the ones that you've got for next year, the ones that they're holding on to, are essentially garbage.
Yeah, they're worthless.
They're worthless. This isn't a good draft. The picks are going to be further towards the end of the first round.
Doesn't matter if it's a great draft.
Yep.
The picks are worthless. Anything out of the lottery is worthless, and at the end of the lottery, it's kind of worthless, too.
I'm hearing people saying, well, they should have given up those, you know, like two of those picks to go get this Davis Bertans. I'm like, are you crazy? Dude, they're never going to make that trade. Are you out of your mind? Now, the Clint Capella one is the only trade that I'm wondering if the Celtics could have made a move on. And because there were four teams involved and about 18 players, yeah, figuring out what it actually cost the Hawks to get him is like doing algebra. So thank God we turned to the guy with the glasses on my left. And I was like, John.
Let's see if he gets his right, does yeah, better than the song.
I was yeah, like, do me a favor. I want you to figure out what the Celtics equivalent would have been to get Clint Capella. So what did you come up
okay,
with?
Okay, it's very convoluted, but working my way through it, it seems that Atlanta gave up Evan Turner, Brooklyn's 2020 first-round draft pick and a second-round draft pick.
Dude, that's nothing.
To get Capella.
See, that's nothing, and that frustrates me.
And Brooklyn is hanging on the edge of the playoff race.
Because Capella would have been an excellent addition. If you would have got Capella in there, that would have been the one piece that I think you needed that would at least give you a puncher's chance against Giannis. Because I, to be quite honest, I'm not even that scared of the 76ers anymore. They seem to be imploding from the inside out. As a matter of fact, we'll play some stuff that Charles Barkley was saying about them last night. It was pretty fantastic. Boy, do they hate the Sixers. And even when you've got Al Horford, like bitching about how that there's, you know, trouble in the locker room. When you've had, you know, think about him last year. He was in the middle of all that crap with Kyrie Irving, and he never called out the team. So it's got to be bad if he's doing so. But if you're telling me that that is essentially so, Evan Turner, who is he's broken,
yes,
and then a
and overweight,
round, and overweight,
yes,
and he was the money, right? You had to yes, obviously have some money.
He was
to be
the money
as well,
to match, yes, and in order to match Capella, who was, you know, 15, 16, 17 in there, you would have had to add, and I'm just looking specifically at the Celtics salaries for this year, probably Marcus Smart is the closest thing to Turner's salary. So you'd have to move Wanamaker?
You'd have
to move Wanamaker, which would really stab Rich in the heart.
Is he really a 29-year-old rookie, by the way?
Yes, he Wanamaker? Spent. Yeah, he spent
well,
6 years.
He's not a rookie, but.
Well, no, he's a second-year player, yeah, but he spent, he played for Pitt at Pitt and then went overseas for 5 years.
Wanamaker.
Mm-hmm. Wanaholic.
Loser. So, yeah, in order to make it match, you would have had to give up a guy like Marcus Smart and something else to make the money work along with the first and second round pick.
So I hate to, like, downplay or like, you know, not big market tease that we're going to hold Danny's feet to the fire. But to be quite honest, I mean, I do believe that they're kind of screwed against the Bucks. But would you have given up or made a trade of $28 million worth of salary to go get Andre Drummond?
No, it wouldn't have worked for this team.
It's a legitimate question to ask.
I don't think so.
Well, if you believe that they would win a championship this year, or if you want to hang on to the core of your team, and you figure you got time because you have a young core.
I think if they can get Tristan Thompson, which once again the Cavaliers are saying that they want to keep him, but according to David Aldridge, he says that there's still a chance that they might put him on the buyout market. And, of course, when that happens, there's, you know, no guarantee that he's going to become a Celtic. But if they can get Tristan Thompson, now we're talking.
Depends on
now
how much he wants. It depends on how much he wants.
He's going to want a decent amount because there's going to be different teams fighting over
Isaiah will sign for like a, you know, a free gift card to TGI Fridays. He'll come here for nothing. So you can put him, and that will help you offensively. And by the way, that's something the Celtics do need. Is scoring punch off the bench.
But let's stop with this whole, why does Danny hold on to these first-round picks? These picks are worthless, and they would have gotten you nothing yesterday. And I'm hearing all this like talk about how those three picks could have gotten you all these sorts of big players. You're crazy. This draft is not that good.
Doesn't matter if the draft is good. They're too far in the first round.
No draft is deep enough where you're going to get an impact player that's going to help you right away in the high teens.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't happen. I mean, listen,
you might luck out. Like Donovan Mitchell for Utah. You know, he wasn't a top 10 guy, but still, I mean,
was Giannis a top 10 guy?
Giannis was in the mid teens, 14, 15, somewhere in there. But that was a big swing. For Milwaukee, I mean, Giannis didn't look like anything like the player he is now when they drafted him. I mean, it was like the Major League Baseball draft. We draft a kid you hope he can help you in 3 years.
All right, so what do we got coming up, Rich?
All right, we'll get into Charles Barkley rips on the Sixers on television last night. Also, this Mookie deal still hasn't gone through. We've got the latest on that.
Yep, and like we talked about yesterday, it might not. All right, here are the headlines.
Well, all right.
That's right. It's Friday.
Citizens of the universe.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're touching Rich B. Listening at 6:50 this morning for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see Guns N' Roses.
Did you hear who they added to the, like, who the opening band is now?
Yes, I did see that.
The Smashing Pumpkins.
Yep.
Like, that's
out of nowhere.
You would have thought they would have put in the original press release. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, the Smashing Pumpkins are going. All right, well, now I'm going. The Smashing Pumpkins reunion was one of the better concerts I've seen over the last several years.
I don't like the message that sends.
What the Smashing Pumpkins send?
Yeah. Now you got kids running all over the place on Halloween, knocking out your jack-o'-lantern that you spent a lot of time working on.
That is true.
Oh, Smashing Pumpkins. Yeah, you smash my pumpkins, you're on my property. I get to do whatever I want to you. Pair of tickets to see Guns N' Roses July 21st at Fenway Park. Tickets on sale today at noon at redsox.com/tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And who is in Guns N' Roses now? Is it just those three guys?
Yeah, it's the three guys, and I know Dizzy's in it, and 40th, whatever that guitarist name is. I don't think the dude from The Replacements is still with them anymore.
No, he's not, because he's publicly bitched about them for a long time.
Yeah, so they're excellent live, and they sound great. Axl sounds great. Slash sounds great. They're pros. They realize if they stay in shape and they sound good, they're going to make $1 zillion. So, and I've just seen them so much over the past couple of years that I was kind of like, okay, Guns N' Roses, maybe I'll go. But now that the Smashing Pumpkins are over, I'm like, all right, well, I have to go to this now.
Well, if you're Tommy Stinson, and you know, The Replacements obviously had a mini reunion, and they're like, all right, you can join Guns N' Roses, and he's like, cool. Like, you know, I'll get, like, a percentage of the album, and, like, then we'll tour. And they just make you sit there and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're missing out on all these other paychecks you could be getting. I mean, I'd be furious that if I just sat around and, like, I was salaried, I'd be, like, pissed.
It's probably a decent paycheck, though.
It's a decent paycheck.
It's probably more than he probably would have made if he was with The Replacements.
Hell no! No way. The Replacements, when they got back together, had a huge tour. They were playing big theaters.
Guns N' Roses played Gillette twice.
But he wasn't in the band.
Oh, I thought you meant if he would have stayed with the band.
No, he was pissed.
As like a backup guy. Okay, I get that. No, totally. Axl and the guys who aren't Slash, I totally agree with you. Like, that was not a good, it was not a good band.
No, he had to sit there and make some. He wasn't going to get any percentage on the record because they weren't making it. And then they weren't touring. So his point is, I sat around for 2 years not making any money.
Well, you know, he had that nice Buckethead guy who had like a chicken coop that he played in.
What's funny is that Buckethead still wears a bucket on his head. I just saw a picture of him the other day.
He's like, what's his name? Burt Reynolds in the Celebrity Jeopardy on Saturday Night Live. Look, I got a big hat.
I can't you picture Burt Reynolds just smashing a bucket of chicken on Don DeLuise's head and cracking himself up?
Right. Well, he sat there in pain.
Yeah, and then he took a barrel of gun and pistol whipped him.
Right. I mean, he hit him hard in those movies.
Hell yeah.
No, that was...
It's like, hey, fatso.
That was their joke.
No, and then they would do the take 15 times, and he would get more delighted every time.
And everyone around would laugh. Meanwhile, Dom DeLuise is like hunched over, recoiling after getting smashed.
That's why he ate so much.
Oh.
It's because he was covering up the pain.
Man.
To hide that pain.
That's right. He was using it as a crutch.
Well, the good news is if the Celtics don't indeed have a big man going into the playoffs, at least there's one less team that they might need to be worrying about. That is the 76ers. They have really just not figured things out. They are dreadful away. At home, they're really good, but they're 9-19 on the road.
They are so popular in Philadelphia right now.
They're less, and I love Joel Embiid, but the guy just doesn't try at times.
Oh, they hate him.
They hate him. They used to love him, but this is the season where you're right. You can see everyone going, this guy just doesn't care.
I was in Philadelphia that night that he didn't score. And people were and it's mesmerizing. Like, you're that big and talented.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't score in a game. You can't put the ball in the basket one time.
They've lost four straight. And last night, Charles Barkley went all in on the 76ers.
Oh, let me just go ahead and vent now. You know, I picked the Sixers to get to the finals. I think they are the softest, mentally weakest team. It had a bunch of talent. They are the Cleveland Browns of the NBA.
Damn.
They got a lot of talent.
The Browns?
And they talk the talk, and that's it. They want, like last summer, and I fell for it too because one of the guys, one of our bosses is Steve Fiorillo. He had me on the Cleveland Browns bandwagon. So, because, you know, they came Tell out me. Telling everybody how good they were going to be. And then they got punched in the mouth for game one and got punched in them for the rest of the season. The Philadelphia 76ers, my preseason pick to get to the finals, they just talk, Ernie.
Yep. Yep.
It's a lot different when there are actual expectations. You know, fans love this team because for years, you know, trust the process. The last five years have been building up to this.
The trust the process was ironic. I mean, that was a guy that started it. And then it was,
of course,
it was ironic because they sucked and weren't getting any better.
But the overall point is you can play however you want to play when no one cares about how well you do. It's easy. This is the year. This was supposed to be the year that they were all building towards. You add Al Horford, who is as good a soldier as you're ever going to want on your team, a great locker room guy, and you can't figure out a way to make this work.
Where would you, I guess, yeah, because Embiid and Simmons hate each other, and it's probably because they're both big. And they feel like they're getting in each other's way. But and I'm not, sort of not kidding. But if where would you put Embiid in pure talent in the NBA?
Oh, my God. Like when he's trying?
Yes.
Top 10.
Yeah, I would say near the end of the maybe like top 15
top
or so.
10.
Yeah, I mean, he's legitimately
He is a rare guy who can handle the basketball, shoot threes, be dominant in the low post at both ends.
Yeah, he's a top 10 player.
Yes,
but,
he is.
But he can play like somewhat. He can play like Tice. I mean,
he's fantastic. We saw a little bit of that in the playoffs last year. We've seen it. The games during the two games they played against the Celtics earlier this season in Philadelphia, you saw it. There was one game that was close. The second time they met, if I remember correctly, it was a close game. It was on national TV. And the reason Philadelphia beat the Celtics is that Embiid just took over down the stretch and single-handedly beat the Celtics.
Yeah.
And that's what he's capable of every single night. It is one of the great mysteries of this league because Philadelphia is as bad as they are.
Because the thing with Embiid is that he shouldn't even have to try.
I know. He's oozing talent. He is really good.
Well, he should get a double-double like with the flu.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, I also thought that it was very underrated how much talent they were losing when they got rid of Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick. Like, I mean, just pure scoring. J.J. Redick, his loss is way understated, but you know, you see what Jimmy Butler's doing down there in Miami. And Miami, I mean, they're getting scarier as it goes.
They have $50 million in a cap next year. So look out, Milwaukee. There's going to be a bit of a fight going on between those two squads.
Even Shaq went in on Joel Embiid.
The difference between Giannis and Embiid is force. Giannis is playing with force, and Embiid is playing SOF capital. You 7 foot, so am I, but you're still too little. jump hook of the death. And right here on the other end, he's not playing with force. He's looking for the foul. He has a little band-aid on his little hand. Oh, he wants the ref to call the foul. The ref don't call the foul, so he runs back on defense like a little baby, and then you let this guy score on you.
A little
harsh.
That is
I'm not being harsh. Listen to me.
That's pretty harsh.
No, listen to me. When you go 1 out of 10.
I'm just saying that's harsh.
When you go 1 for 10, it ain't your coach's fault. It ain't your teammate's fault. It's your fault, period.
Well, they have eyes. That's why they're saying that.
His voice has changed so much because I've been binge-watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, and there's the one where Larry David trips him, and he screws up, like, his quad or something. And Shaq is, like, all effervescent and, hey, you know, it's okay if you, hey, you wrote Seinfeld, da-da-da. And now he's like, he doesn't have the energy to talk.
Man, well, he does have this, though. I mean, he's got a big acting career.
So, the general can insure almost any car and any driver?
We sure can.
You know, I was insured by the general when I was younger.
That makes no...
That never
God
gets old.
Damn it! That makes no sense. And then I have people, like, emailing me going, hey, stupid. It means... What? What does it mean?
Well, it's the eyebrows getting raised because when I was eyebrows younger.
I don't get it. I don't understand it. It makes no sense. Who wrote that? How is him having general when he was younger?
When he was younger.
Well, and I'm not going to get him even into the part where LSU probably gave him $5 billion to play there. So I don't know what was so while you're struggling to get insurance. I hate that commercial.
So, the general can insure almost any car and any driver?
We sure can.
You know, I was insured by the general when I was younger.
And then he takes a sip of coffee. And everyone else that's in the general commercials, they're just pathetic losers.
Or they're just CGI creations.
Well, that's true.
High tech. It's like the Money for Nothing video in 2020.
Oh.
Okay.
The general.
All right. Tell me it doesn't look like that. Like,
maybe
you're like,
a
dude, my son could probably open up an app that would make better like graphics than what you got in the general commercial.
The general. Ew. The general.
Look, you look perplexed.
You all right? How did they afford Shaquille O'Neal?
That now that's probably the best question of all.
No, the best question is what he means. What does he mean?
All right. That's a very good question, though. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal is not one of those guys that should be playing at 3 in the morning for a commercial. Shaquille O'Neal, you know, did, like, commercials for Buick, whatever.
He's the new Papa John, you know? They replaced him with Shaq.
He's everywhere. Why is he doing general commercials at 2:30 a.m.?
Papa John not enjoying that at all.
No.
He said if you would have put me with Papa John, now we're talking. That's actually something he really said in that interview. It's like, I don't really think Shaq, he's not going to sell any pizzas. But you put me with Shaq, you know, it's like a buddy comedy.
Yeah. All right, Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, so I have the same feeling with the Cars for Kids commercial. You guys have played it ever since you've been on the air.
But that's deliberate. It's brutal. Yeah. Do you think that the Cars for Kids people go like, we wrote like the greatest song? That is meant to stick into your head.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and it works.
My kids used to sing this to me.
See, with
my,
Act like little kids. 1-877. Act like little kids.
Donate your car today.
Clock. Palace.
It's the Brandon Merriweather version.
No, my kids, when they were younger, when they were 3 and 4 years old, they used to sing that to me in the car.
Same with me.
I'm like, I'm not at work. Stop it.
At least I know that you give them a car and get a tax break. I don't know what the hell Shaq's talking about. When I was younger, sip of coffee. Shut up.
So, the general can insure almost any car and any driver?
We sure can.
You know, I was insured by the general when I was younger.
Oh, my God. Sometimes I just want to go to sleep for a couple days. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. Just, you know, go upstairs and just have someone put, like, fentanyl in my system and just let me sleep. We'll score a pair of tickets to see Guns N' Roses July 21st at Fenway Park. Tickets on sale today at noon at redsox.com/tickets. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All the big.
This is the sample that was used in Professor Booty.
Well, I think it's Booty. 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 That's right. What it is.
That's right. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Very briefly, I am befuddled and angered by the general insurance commercial where Shaq says,
"So, the General can insure almost any car and any driver?"
We sure can.
You know, I was insured by the General when I was younger.
Don't quite understand what that means?
Nope, because it means nothing. Tim, go ahead.
It actually means his dad was in the military, and he refers to his dad as the General. So he's making a reference to the fact that his dad, he calls him the General. So when he was, quote-unquote, younger, he was insured by the General. I don't know why they think it's funny, but that's what they're referencing.
But how was he insured by his father?
I don't know. I didn't write the awful commercial.
I think you're reading too much into this.
Yeah, okay. So let's take your theory.
A deep commercial.
Tim, I'm not going to this is interesting to me. So I'm not, trying to make you – I want to have an honest conversation about this.
Sure.
So if I'm the copywriter, I'm assuming, A, that everyone knows his dad was a general, and then, B, if his dad was a general, how is he insuring him?
Good question. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't have written the awful commercial. I think that's what they're going for.
Okay, well, I mean, he's like, but as well said, when I was at Apple Tree, and then they'll go, "What was that?" "Oh, it was my preschool. You didn't know that I went there when I was younger."
Shaq says. He had it when he was younger to raise his eyebrows. He may be insinuating that he was reckless when he was young.
And so he took the general. So the general wants reckless drivers?
Well, I think that that's actually the beginning of the commercial. It says, bring me your reckless.
There's this guy drunk just
you're taking it.
Just running through houses.
then, they should just show the scene from the Blues Brothers and go, "This guy's a general customer."
Yeah, he's just driving through a mall, and then he crashes 2 months later. The general.
Well, we provided low-cost auto insurance for more than 50 years.
Hey, I'm not that old.
That doesn't make any sense. Guy with a bottle of vodka in the passenger seat, just weaving around the road. The general... We don't care about...
At the General, monthly payments are low with immediate online proof of insurance.
Get your anonymous online quote with low payments and ride with the General.
Okay, we'll have to do that.
Yes, so you got to make sure that those are anonymous. Mm-hmm. All right, is Bert Breer here?
He tweeted that he is.
Okay, well, we will talk to Bert Breer as we tie up the season, as we tie up... after the Super Bowl, and then we'll probably talk to him around free agency and the draft and the combine, because he's over there. He loves the combine. He loves the combine in the Senior Bowl.
Gets to be stuck in Indianapolis yet again.
Yeah, but if you're everything's paid for,
I know,
and you're with all your friends,
it doesn't suck.
And Indianapolis is just fine. I would never live there, but I mean, it's fine.
By all accounts, a better host city for the Super Bowl than Miami.
Yeah, I would have it in Miami 100 times out of 100 because the weather's nice. But as far as it being set up, everything was super spread out. There was no transportation, but it's still Miami.
Indianapolis is easy, yeah.
I mean, I would still rather have it in Miami.
I agree.
Houston and Indianapolis.
Houston was great. Atlanta was fine. Atlanta was good.
Well, Atlanta, I don't count because I went out every night because I knew people there.
Yep.
So, Atlanta was kind of a vacation. Until Jim Gray showed up.
I didn't mind Minneapolis until Jim Gray, which was
Minneapolis.
Phenomenal.
Stop it with Minneapolis.
Dude, we got to go to Paisley Park.
I thought that was ice fishing.
Minneapolis was not. Phoenix was so bad that everything else is a joke.
Yeah.
I like Phoenix. No, shut up, Phoenix. Oh, I want to go somewhere. It's just 45 miles through barren desert.
Bert's laughing. You should have seen Fred in the morning that week. Not happy.
Well, I kind of saw Bert in the morning when he came out to Radio Row. And how far he had to drive to get in from the airport where they were staying in Miami traffic.
Oh, yeah, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
wow.
There's no one who probably was more frustrated
than
Townsend.
And by the way, it's not like we're going to the Super Bowl. Because people could go like, oh, well, you're so spoiled. We don't go to the game.
No, we leave Friday morning.
And by the way, we were on the air at 4 in Phoenix.
Arizona,
in Phoenix. I'm never doing that again. I'm never doing it again. It was one of the worst weeks of my life.
I had a pretty good life.
Well, no one's close to me. I mean,
people have died, but they weren't close to me. So.
All right, let's take death off the table. All right, let's take tragedy off the table.
It was a bad week.
Working and socially, it was one of the worst weeks of my life.
I got bad news.
What's that? Yeah.
Yeah, good. I got bad news.
No, you're good now.
I mean, this year's in Tampa. You better hope the Patriots don't make it the 2 years after that, because then it's
L.A.
Right? L.A., yeah. Phoenix.
The L.A.'s going to be awesome.
Oh, I don't know about that. You think so?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's going to be out there in L.A.
But L.A.'s spread out,
well,
correct?
No, but here's the one thing about L.A.
Well, let's break. Let's break and come back.
All right, we got headlines.
Well, not break, just headlines. No,
no commercials here, we're just headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling helpline ma.org.